Well, as I mentioned before, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding some victory over alcoholism, and my name is Jack, and I'm happy to be here with you tonight. So, we're moving on in our teaching series tonight. We're on lesson four in the curriculum, and so just as a kind of a to catch us up, I know we've had some people that are gone and some people that are here new. We start out with lesson one. We start out looking at denial. It's something that typically plagues our lives in various formats, and it's only until we come out of the darkness of denial and get into the light of truth that we can begin to recover. And that goes for our faith walk as well. If you're in denial and trying to live a life of faith and live a life walking with Jesus, that's not gonna mix well. Unfortunately, Jesus is strong enough and powerful enough, and we're going to talk a little bit about that strength tonight, to overcome our feeble attempts at denial and hiding and all that. So we start there, and that can be uncomfortable. And the enemy likes to whisper to us and sometimes yell at us as we're moving out of denial that truth is not good, truth is painful, truth is truth, and that light is a little too bright. And many times we run back into denial, and we do that kind of time to time, even as we're on our recovery walk, but sometimes our recovery stalls out right there. And so we want to move into or out of the denial, and because what we realize in that light is that we really are powerless. And that sounds kind of negative when we first look at it. And we talk in that lesson about how our powerlessness allows us to tap into and receive fully God's power. And that's a good thing. And so when we get to the end of ourselves, when, as I say, our wretchedness outweighs our willpower, that's when we are open to allowing Christ into our life. That's why, and this centers around principle number one that says, realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life has become unmanageable. And the beatitude that goes with that are happy are those who are spiritually poor. And what that beatitude speaks to is us being poor in ourselves, being poor in our self-will so that we can be rich in God's gifts and God's power. So we need to get to the end of ourselves. So powerless, we look at in that second lesson as being a good thing. That then, when we get our heads around that, that then begins us down the road of hope. And many times, especially folks coming through those doors for the first time or early on in their recovery, hope is not something that they're thinking about at that point in time. But perhaps as they stick around a little bit longer, as they hear a few more teachings, as they start to interact and share openly and transparently in small group, they begin to see that glimmer at the end of that long tunnel. And that's that hope. And that glimmer is actually God's brightness and power and light. And the more we move towards it, the brighter and fuller and more fulfilling and warm it gets. But sometimes it starts as just a little pinprick out there in the distance. But we begin to see there's a different way to live our life. And that takes us to our lesson tonight, which is called Sanity, or our Sanity lesson. And for those of you that have the handout there, I think we left one in everybody's chair. We're going to take, as a kind of a common teaching tactic that we use in Celebrate Recovery, the acrostic method, where we take the word, a word, in this case, sanity, and we're just going to attach some concepts to each letter of the word sanity that kind of tie into what do we mean by sanity in recovery. And so denial and powerless, we are in principle one, and in the hope lesson we move into principle two, and we're going to be staying in principle two tonight. And so let me just read principle two and step two to you. So it says, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. And the beatitude that undergirds that is, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And what Jesus is talking about mourning there is mourning our sin. That we need to be in touch with the fact of our sin nature, that we're broken people. We need to mourn that. Now, we are perfected, those of us who've accepted Christ, we are perfected in God's eyes, okay? His grace, his mercy, that covers us, his righteousness, and we'll talk about that later tonight too. But we still sin. And that, we need to be aware of that. We need to be in touch with how much that grieves God. And that's what that beatitude is really speaking to. Happy are those who mourn. In other words, if you don't know that you're screwed up, you're probably not going to go about doing something about it. And so there's, once again, good news in that. Step two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And a scripture that goes with that is from Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." So we're going to be focusing in on the second part of step two tonight in the teaching. So the first part, in hope, we look at came to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And we talked a bit about that in the hope lesson, and actually in the powerless lesson as well a little bit. Second part is, could restore us to sanity. So that's kind of where we're going to camp out tonight. Now, that doesn't mean that before you started working the steps, or before you stepped through the doors of Celebrate Recovery, before you started your walk with Jesus, you were insane. It just means that God can restore us to a sanity that we define it here in Celebrate Recovery as this. So we're going to define sanity as a wholeness of mind and making decisions based on truth. Okay, so once again, doesn't mean you were insane before. Now, some of you may have been. Some of you, as you look back at your past, your life, your actions, your thoughts, your whole person, you could probably make a case for at least part of that being done in insanity. When I look back at my alcoholic behavior, and I step out of that, and I think, you know, all those people that said, "Why don't you just stop drinking?" They were saying that's insane what you're describing. what do you mean you can't stop drinking, or you drink until you can't drink anymore? That doesn't. So I think there may be some parts of our lives that we might have think, well, that was kind of insane behavior. But we want to look at sanity as a wholeness of mind, making decisions based on the truth. And so let's move into our acrostic for tonight. The S in sanity is for strength. And scriptures we have that kind of support that. It says, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." That's Psalm 46:1. And Psalm 73:26 says, "My mind and my body may grow weak, but God is my strength. He is all that I ever need." And so our greatest strength that we have starts with our own weakness, with our own brokenness, with our own helplessness, with our own powerlessness, because that's when we turn to the true strength in the universe, and that's God, and that's Jesus. In other words, our weakness leads us to God's strength. And unfortunately, in my life, and I think kind of in general in the human condition, sometimes we get into the habit of only running to God when we are at that low point, when we do feel our weakest. And part of recovery and part of living a life of faith is to turn to God regardless of what's going on in your life. But I totally get that concept of running to God when we're in trouble. But realize the immense power that God has. Now, we can do a lot of things for ourselves. We are capable. God is ultimately capable. We are created in His image, so we too are capable of things. But our capabilities, our strength, compared to His, is infinitesimal. I was thinking, for some reason, oh, I know what it was. I was looking at elevations of lakes. For some reason, we're going to go camping at a lake this summer. And the last 4 or 5 years, I've had the privilege to be invited up to a kind of a guy's retreat up at Elk Lake in central Oregon, just outside of Bend. And a bunch of guys get together, kind of just loving the Lord and just loving each other and accepting each other's faults and just continue to help each other and support each other in that. And on the lake, we stay at a private house there, but there's a marina and a lodge and a campground and all that. And the marina, I think the lodge operates this like party pedal powered boat thing. You know, it's almost like a lean-to or a little cabin thing on pontoons, and you can rent this thing and you can pedal it, you know, pedal the propellers around the lake, okay? And that's fun and all that, but I think of that as our power, okay? compared to, you know, like a 6,000 horsepower, four-engine cigarette boat as God's power. And if I'm out in the middle of Elk Lake and I'm drowning or I'm about to drown, I do not want to rely on the pedal-powered boat to get to me, to save me. I want the cigarette boat there now. I want it fast. I want that power. I want paramedics on board, life support, and maybe beverages, okay? I don't want to rely on my power, okay? And so I think about while we are capable and while we take control, or think we do at least, often in our lives, we need to realize that the real strength in our recovery and our faith walk comes from God, and we need to consistently turn to Him rather than relying on our own selves. And He wants us with all the baggage. My daughter was singing in big church this weekend, and one of the songs they sang was a song called The Way. I forget who it's by. And one of the lines that just struck me as I was thinking about this lesson, it says, "And it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new." And this is the part I really like. "All my fears and doubts, they can come too, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you." And that's one of the benefits of tapping into God's power, is He wants you to bring all that stuff with you. He came to heal. He came to restore. He came to repair. Let Him do that. Don't try to hide that from Him. You can't anyway, ultimately. But He wants that, okay? And if you do tap into God's strength, that line is very correct. That stuff can't stay around you long, okay? You can't be walking truly with God and tapping into His strength and have that stuff hanging on, okay? And that's one of the magical parts of this program, is that we continue to walk a little bit better each day and tap into that strength, and a lot of times these hurts and these habits and these hang-ups go away. The A in sanity is for acceptance. Romans 15:7, "Accept one another then, and for the glory of God, as Christ has accepted you." So this part of the acrostic, I want to kind of touch on two points: acceptance of others and acceptance of ourselves. Acceptance of others. And every week we end with a serenity prayer. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change." That includes other people. Okay, that's not just speaking about the things in our lives. That's anytime we try to start changing other people, realize you can't do that. And sometimes that's where we border on insanity, where we continue to try to change people even though, but they don't. Okay, or we continue to engage in a relationship with this person, and it's the same old, same old. We keep thinking, oh, well, this will be different this time. So realize you need to accept that you can't change people. As far as ourselves, we need to accept our past. We need to accept that we cannot change that, okay? And that goes in line with another line in the Serenity Prayer, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Okay, as I would have it, those things I did in the past didn't happen, wouldn't have happened. Didn't hurt those people, didn't hurt myself. I'd like to blame somebody for that. That's not the reality, okay? So we need to accept those things. Finally, we need to accept that you cannot out-sin the cross. You need to accept that His grace is truly enough, and really get our head around that. So acceptance is a key part of that wholeness of mind, of living in the truth. The next letter, N, stands for new life. Scripture that kind of highlights this concept, 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes, or she becomes, a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. 2 Corinthians 5 goes on to say in verse 21, "God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." So a new life. You are a new creation for those of you that have accepted Christ. And there might be some of you out there tonight that have not accepted Christ or maybe aren't sure where you are in your faith walk. I encourage you to continue to keep coming back. Those that have been around for a while know that was my story. I came in those doors not a believer. Very much an alcoholic, but not a believer. CR opened their arms and their hearts and their minds to me. And here I am today, still here. So keep coming back. But you are a new creation for those of you that have accepted Christ. Now act like it. And I say that not as a, you need to do this. I say that as a mantra that plays in my head. Every day, as I engage in a thought or a behavior that in no way reflects my new created self, I say to myself, why don't you act like it? Is this a bunch of garbage that you're just chatting about, throwing out there? I am a new creation. Act like it. In God's eyes, we looked at that verse in 2 Corinthians. In God's eyes, we are righteous. We are perfect, holy, innocent. We are, he sees basically his son when he looks at us. So in his view, we are that. Internally, we have been transformed into that. It's just externally, we still kind of flail around in these old habits and hang-ups sometimes and these old behaviors. So we need to take what's in us and we need to take how God sees us and we need to reflect that out to the rest of the world. We need to live. We need to reckon it so as it is. So really becoming intimately engaged with that new self. And that, once again, will lead to wholeness of mind, will lead to us living in the truth. The I in sanity stands for integrity. As we live in his strength, and therefore not only accept the things that we cannot change, but actually begin to change the things that we can. That's part of that new life. It's not just, well, I just accept the things I cannot change. I'm, you know, the past is the past and I'm just a loser and all that. No, you're a new creation. To change, the power to change the things we can. So as we do that, when we live out that new identity that we just talked about, okay, we're going to gain integrity. It's almost a side effect of this new life. And too many times we get stuck in trying to make people think that we now have integrity, that we are someone of integrity. That was my former life as an addict. Because I knew I was an addict at some point in time, that kind of hit me. But I pretended to be a good person. I pretended to be a person with compassion, even though I was selfish and a narcissist. I pretended to be somebody that was not judgmental and open to things, but I was just the opposite. I wanted people to think that I was a certain way that I was. I've said this before, I think, to this group. I wanted people to think that I was the type of person that would come in and help feed the homeless downstairs on Monday nights, but never do it. I wanted people to think of me like I'd go into the prisons and volunteer and take this program in and celebrate recovery inside, but I would never do that. Okay? I was trying to make people feel a certain way about me or think a certain way, and it doesn't work that way. It works by us tapping into his power, into his strength. It works by us living that new life, accepting the old stuff and accepting people how they are. And as we do that, your integrity will naturally follow. Okay? It's the same thing with truth. And that's the next letter in the acrostic. Okay? Insanity. The T is for truth. So many times, folks that come into this room have broken trusts with people. And I am key with that, especially people that are really important to us. In my case, my wife, my kids, my close friends, my employer. I destroyed trust with most of them and wasn't honest with all of them. And so if we go into trying to make people trust us, instead of just being trustworthy. That's that idea. It kind of ties back into the integrity. Proverbs 29:25 says, "It is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you, but if you trust the Lord, you are safe. Okay, and this is not to say you disregard other people's feelings and you don't have any empathy or anything like that. It's to say that you hear the phrase oftentimes in recovery, keeping our side of the street clean or doing the next right thing. All those kind of center come back to this idea of trust and integrity. It's about living that new life, not telling people you're living that new life. Okay, and that's that difference. And what I did in my old life is I was trying to tell people, I'm trustworthy, I'm lovable, I'm honest, I'm this and that, instead of just being it. Okay. Finally, we get to the why, which stands for your higher power. Your higher power. I don't know if it's on, yeah, it says on the slide too. It's not just words up there. Jesus does love you just the way you are. Does not mean he wants you to stay where you are. This whole process, this whole journey, whether it's recovery, faith, is about consistently living that new life that we already are, that new creation that we already are in God's eyes. So we're a work in progress. We're going to stumble. We are not perfect. It is about the journey. It is about how we get there. Because ultimately, we're going to be perfected in these bodies too, and in new bodies, I guess. But while we're here on this planet, we continue to persevere. But nothing that we do can make God love us more. And so the converse of that is true as well. He loves you just the way you are. Some scriptures that just kind of undergird this, support this. Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? He didn't wait for us to not be sinners. He didn't say, well, I don't like you the way you are now, so I'm not going to die yet. He took everybody as they were, are, is, will be, and died for us. He loves you just as you are. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. I think that's an interesting scripture. That'd be something I'd like to get into something with somebody who knows a lot more about the Bible than me. But because I like that idea that you will not be tempted more than you can bear, even though sometimes, at least if you're me, like me, I think it's happened. But I'm still here. And so I don't know exactly what that means to where you can't bear it. But I believe that to be true. And I know to be true that he will provide a way out when we do become tempted. We're never locked in. We are never doomed or destined to be separated from God once we've asked him into our life. He loves us just the way we are. And finally, Matthew 6:34, just to give us perspective, we talk about this a lot in Celebrate Recovery. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. So as we tap into his strength, God's strength, even though we're very capable, our power is nothing compared to his, it's there for us to tap into. He's offering it moment by moment to us. As we accept others as they are, as we accept ourselves as we are, as we look for that serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, but also the responsibility that comes with acceptance of changing the things that we can. And we can do that by living that new life, that new creation that we are, living that out each day. As we do that, we will begin to make choices with integrity. We will begin to be trustworthy and truthful. And we always need to remember that wherever we are, at this moment or 2 years from now or whatever, Jesus loves us just the way we are. And he is right beside us as we continue to become and to live those people that we were created to be. Let me just close this in prayer, close the lesson in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this program. Thank you for bringing each and every person here tonight. Lord, I pray that these words, both the Scripture, Your Word, and anything that I've added, that we don't just let those pass. That we truly get in touch with our new identity, and we truly look to You for strength instead of all the worldly things that we want to tap into. And Lord, we thank You for making us in Your image, capable and with the ability to love and to do great things for our fellow men. But Lord, we need You. Lord, I ask that You just continue to work in our hearts and our minds, that we to give us that sane mind, that wholeness in our lives, and that we continue to seek the truth, Your truth, in everything that we do. I pray these things in Your name. Amen.